What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 355th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. With me on this Easter Sunday is Will.
Well, I don't celebrate holidays, but sure, it's just Sunday to Will, which you know what that means? Chest day. Sunday is chest day. So I hope everybody's out there doing their bench presses, their incline bench presses, their chest flies, chest dips. I also do core on Sunday. So okay. You want to do some bicycles, some butt ups, and some toe touchers. You'll be good. Get swole.
My family was never super religious, so Easter to me was wake up early, find the Easter basket that your parents hid in the house, and then eat candy and watch Balto.
I don't know what Balto is. What? Is that about a dog?
Yeah, it's the sled dog thing that's actually like...
I have no idea what you're talking about. Didn't your family tell me a story where one year you guys got a bunch of packs of Pokemon cards for Easter and you wouldn't let anybody else open any of them? Mm. Didn't I hear that story?
No, I never got TCG cards for Easter. I did one year get the Pokemon trading card Game Boy game.
Oh, that's right.
It took me forever to find that Easter basket. And when I did, there was a thick... I wouldn't say it was like a book, but it was like thicker than a magazine, but it had all the prices for Pokemon cards from like base set, I think, all right before Rocket. So I was just in love with that. And that was also the year I got the game, but I didn't realize the game was under all the grass in the basket. So my parents were like waiting for me to discover the game, but the magazine at that point was good enough for me as a kid. I was like, oh, this magazine's awesome. It says my Charizard card is worth $250.
Here we go. The economics of TCG cards again.
And now it's worth, I think, maybe 25 base set Charizard. Wait, is not.
Is this a first printing of Charizard?
Yeah, base set. The original Charizard.
I mean, we can see what TCGplayer.com has to say. Sure. That's where you go. That's the free market as the... what did they call it? The economists like to call it?
The free market, I think they call it.
Price, let's do price only, and we want to do price high to low.
No Greg here, by the way. They are forced into some Easter family event.
Oh, the worst. All right, Charizard Star, Delta Species, Dragon Frontiers.
No, not that one.
Yeah, that's $699.
Yeah, that is, I think, one of the most expensive Charizard is Delta's series.
I don't understand why.
Base set Charizard.
I don't think there's any for sale. Fire Red Leaf Gym Challenge, Plasma Storm, Legendary Collection. These are still quite pricey.
See, we don't want base set. Is base set unlimited? The reprint? I can't remember. There was a reprint of these too, which is kind of.
I've got Charizard base set.
Okay.
Number 4.
Sure.
Rarity Holo Rare, $81.73.
Oh, did it go up?
That's market price, but there are some that are like, heavily played is $17, damaged is $17.99.
So eBay, PS, somebody is selling $19.99. PSA 8, we've talked about PSA. Why are we so much PSA the last...
We need to get somebody from PSA on this program so they can explain their techniques.
PSA 8, which is near mint condition, base set Charizard, not first edition. First edition is, we're not talking that. Let's not get wild here. $27. PSA 8, pretty good.
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever people are trying to flood the market.
PSA 9, $200.
But I mean, you can't even play the card anymore.
No, you wouldn't want to. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's not a great card. It's too many energies, not enough hit points. But speaking of the TCG, Will, what a great transition I have here. We'll get into some Pokemon news. We have TCG stuff. We have shinies. We have somebody getting a restraining order in Pokemon Go. We have the news.
Yes.
We also have some Detective Pikachu stuff. But we're going to start off with some TCG news here. This is off Pokemon.com. I know, very small, up-and-coming website here. Really hard to trust their news. But Pokemon.com, the 2020 season Pokemon TCG format rotation. At the beginning of every championship series seasons, Pokemon organized play will remove older expansions from the competition in the standard format, with the goal of maintaining a healthy and competitive environment. This rotation challenges existing players to create new strategies and enable new players to get involved in play Pokemon events using the most recent releases, aka we want you to buy more cards.
Please.
The 2020 season starts July 1st, 2019, so players can get an early start working towards the 2020 Pokemon World Championships. However, the rotation will not occur fully until August 15th, 2019.
Wait a minute. August 15th, 2019?
Here comes the kicker.
The day before the World Championships?
Importantly, this means that the 2019 Pokemon World Championships, which take place August 16th through 18th, will be the first major event to use the 2020 format and rules currently listed.
How dare.
For other competitors, for other competitions taking place this summer, be sure to head out over to the events, rules, and regulations before attending. The 2020 season will consist of the following: Sun and Moon, Ultra Prism, and any expansion afterwards, Black Star promos, Sun and Moon 94 and up, and cards from the following sets are also legal: Dragon Majesty and Pokemon TCG Detective Pikachu.
Heck yeah.
Starting with the 2020 seasons, cards from the McDonald's collection will be legal in the standard format if they're functionally identical to a card that is legal in the standard format. For example, I know this might be confusing, McDonald's collection 2018 812 is functionally the same Magnemite card from Sun and Moon Ultra Prism, so it can still be used in the standard format. New expansions become legal for tournament play on the third Friday of the month they are released. So again, to clear up any confusion, if there was a card like Ultra Ball, which there has been probably 12 plus different Ultra Balls.
I'm sorry, Ultra Ball is being rotated out.
Shh, we're not there yet. Don't spoil.
Okay, sorry, okay.
There's like a current format Ultra Ball, but if you had an Ultra Ball from like 8 years ago, as long as the text on the card is the same, you're allowed to use it. So that's what they're saying with the McDonald's. Some of the McDonald's cards, the art might look different, but as long as everything matches, you're allowed to use it.
So does that mean I can use my 10-year-old double colorless energy?
You could. If you have very old double colorless energies and they match, you're more than able to use it. Now, you might, you know, be thinking about getting into the TCG and you're not sure what, you know, cards are allowed here. Anything after Ultra Prism is allowed, which cuts a lot of the old stuff out. So Ultra Prism is also going to get you Forbidden Light, Celestial Storm, Dragon Majesty, Lost Thunder, Team Up, and then the newest set that comes out in about a week, which is Unbroken Bonds, and then any set after that. There's another format called Expanded for people who like to play with the older cards. Magic the Gathering has something like this too, but I think it's called Legacy?
Oh, Magic the Gathering's got 200 formats. Don't even try to compare. I think it's actually more like Modern.
Oh, okay. I know there is a Legacy, isn't there?
Legacy goes all the way back. Modern goes part of the way back.
So the expanded format in the Pokemon TCG will remain unchanged. You are also allowed to use cards from Generations, Double Crisis, Dragon Vault, Shining Legends, Dragon Majesty, the Pokemon TCG Detective Pikachu, Black and White Trainer Kit, and any trainer kits released forward, and McDonald's Collection 2011 and later. It's really weird.
What about Plasma Blast? Can I play Plasma Blast?
Plasma Blast is part of Black and White, so yes.
What about Plasma Freeze?
Plasma Freeze is also good. You get your Hypnotoxic Laser if you want.
Heck yeah. What about Shining Legends?
Shining Legends, you're good.
Of course I'm good.
Everything's good. Okay, So going back to standard format, This is really weird because what we talked about earlier, let's say you have really old Ultra Balls, you're still allowed to play those because they keep making new Ultra Ball cards.
They kept making new Ultra Ball cards.
Because we are losing base set Sun and Moon, which is currently, so right now what is legal is Sun and Moon, Guardians Rising, Burning Shadows, Shining Legends, Crimson Invasion, Ultra Prism, and then everything I listed. So they're cutting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 full sets. Because as of the start of After Worlds, everything Sun and Moon was legal, which makes sense because, you know, Sun and Moon is still the current game and everything.
But for rotations, they normally do 2 years back, around 2 years back, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And I think Sun and Moon came out in the United States on February 3rd, 2017. So yeah, Sun and Moon is, that base set is 2 years old now. So this makes sense. I don't think anyone was surprised. But they didn't reprint a lot of cards that you would have thought they would have reprinted. I'm pulling this from Purple Cliff, who one of my friends who is a Twitch, specifically Pokemon TCG streamer. And he went ahead and he tweeted all the major cards that are going out of rotation, which might alarm some people because these are staples to almost every single deck.
And have been for a long time.
Yes. Now, some have been staples since Sun and Moon has debuted. Some have been staples way before that. One of those being Ultra Ball, which is no longer playable.
I remember when Ultra Ball was literally saved because they printed it as a secret rare. And that was the only thing that kept it in the format 1 year.
Like, I can't remember a single deck in the trading card game that I built without four. Like, four Ultra Balls was a staple in every deck. You have 56 cards in a deck plus four Ultra Balls.
Yeah, basically.
It's mind-blowing to me that they're rotating that out. Okay, I'll go through the whole list. We'll talk about them. Tapu Lele, Guzma, Ultra Ball, Double Colorless Energy, Nest Ball, Timer Ball, Zoroark GX, and Let Loose Marshadow. There are a couple Marshadow cards, but specifically Let Loose Marshadow is the one you want.
Well, for me, the most shocking was the Double Colorless Energy. That has just been forever.
Double Colorless Energy was in base set. They've literally...
It's just like, it has been there forever, and now it's gone.
Like, so, it's so weird. So many cards require, it's like so many decks also require Double Colorless Energy. Like, Nest Ball and Timer Ball, these are just other ways to get Pokemon out of your deck onto your bench. Zoroark GX, easily one of the most dominant cards in the format. It has very good move where it does about 120 damage for one Double Colorless Energy.
It does nothing now because it's rotated out along with its energy.
On top of that, it had one of the most incredible abilities, which lets you discard one card from your hand to draw two cards. Because it was a Double Colorless Energy attacker, it really worked in every deck. If you had three Zoroarks on your bench and you had one card in your hand, you discard that one card, draw two, use the other Zoroark's ability to discard that one card, draw two more, use the last one. You go from one card to ultimately four cards in your hand, looking at six new cards, which is extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Tapu Lele, again, another staple ever since it was introduced. Tapu Lele, when you put it onto your bench, you have the ability to go into your deck and look for any supporter card you want and put it into your hand. So, like, I feel like, realistically, they could have just got rid of Double Colorless Energy and kind of, quote-unquote, nerfed Zoroark and Tapu Lele indirectly, because the only reason you'd ever put energy on those Pokemon is because you had a Double Colorless. Man, so weird. And then the weirdest part about all of it is they're doing rotation the day before Worlds.
Yes. Wow. I mean, it's not that people can't prepare, but wow. That just seems so strange. Because people will know what cards are out. It's not like they're going to release a new set right before.
Right.
Worlds.
Yeah. They'll still have time to prep. And they'll still have plenty of playtesting. And obviously the people who, you know, will make Worlds, they're good enough to be able to adapt to pretty much any deck.
Yeah. And like for people who don't play the TCG or who haven't played it in any level of seriousness, like, you know, Steve and I did for a while. For people who take it seriously, they play test every day. And they will play test with virtual cards, not just with the cards they have in their hands. You know, they'll go online to not only the TCG online, but there are other simulators out there so that they can do play testing that way. So, yeah, it's a whole other world of you can't believe people are taking the Pokemon TCG this seriously. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But that's what it takes to get to Worlds.
It's always an exciting time. It's also usually a very good time to get into the TCG when a rotation happens.
Yeah, because there's fewer old cards that you would need to look for and have to buy as singles and everything like that.
Okay, next bit of news here is off Pokemon.com as well. From big to small, you see them all with a new Pokemon size chart collection, Kanto to Alola book. You can now see how your favorite Pokemon measure up.
You mean I can't tell from watching the cartoon?
I don't think so. I mean, Pokemon come in all many shapes and sizes, but how do they stack up? You can now find out with the new Pokemon size chart collection, Kanto to Alola book. This book contains 7 pullout posters that will take you through 7 different regions: Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, Sinnoh, Unova, and Kalos. I don't know how they say it. I watched the anime last night, and I was like, they say it funny. I think it's Kalos. It's either one of those two.
I think it's Kalos.
I think so. And Alola, while showcasing Pokemon originally discovered in each one, the Pokemon size chart collection, Kanto to Alola, also includes legendary and mythical Pokemon, Ultra Beast, and special Alolan forms. Each multi-panel poster unfolds for viewing and then neatly folds back in for safe storage. The posters will also feature perforated edges, can be removed and displayed wherever you would like. This is a fun book that provides Pokemon fans a visual representation of the world of Pokemon, and it's now available wherever books are sold. I know that they can't make things overnight. I understand that that this book was probably being worked on for a couple months.
I mean, not with that attitude, they can't.
Why did they just not wait? Why release it now? You have...
Maybe there will not be any new Pokemon in Galar.
Galar.
That just sounds awful. Maybe there will not be any new Pokemon in Galar besides the 3 starters.
Maybe they already have maybe they just want to double dip. Maybe they're doing Kanto to Alola, but they just took the same exact book. They're adding the Galar later, and they're just going to resell that again. Everything's
they know their audience.
It's like slightly, like, I guess it would have made more sense if this came out like closer to the release of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. But we're like a new game and another new game coming.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird, but I don't know. If you're looking for an Easter gift, maybe $17.50 on Amazon.
Oh, it's out already?
Yeah.
I thought it was just like,
It's like a $1.70 a region.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You like having books lying around your house. Ugh.
All right. One more bit of news here before we take our break. This is from IGN. Why Mr. Mime was almost cut from Pokemon Detective Pikachu, an IGN first. I guess maybe that means IGN exclusive.
Sure.
This was from James in our Slack community who sent this over from our Attic channel. They talk about Avengers Endgame in the beginning, probably for SEO clicks. We're going to skip the first like four paragraphs of this article. Okay, so today we have an exclusive image of Detective Pikachu's Legendary Pictures, Warner Brother Pictures, and the Pokemon Company's comedy adventure based on the beloved media franchise. It is the first ever live adaptation of the Pokemon brand. While there are many live-action Pokemon in the upcoming Detective Pikachu movie could be described as cute, cuddly, or ferocious, one in particular set a collective shiver down the fans of fans' spines, Mr. Mime. Most Pokemon resemble various pets, beasts, and creatures, but Mr. Mime is a tiny person, missing just enough human-like qualities, like a nose, that technically makes it a Pokemon. We will always accept this because of Pokemon's cartoony nature, but it's bringing it into the real world that makes us take a second horrifying look at what it really is. It turns out that film director Rob Letterman had to go through quite an ordeal to use Mr. Mime in the film, even going as so far as needing approval from the president of the Pokemon Company. IGN talked to Letterman about this quest to bring Mr. Mime to life, and it's a story that's just as unexpected and ridiculous as Mr. Mime itself. The process of getting Mr. Mime in the movie took 2 years because it was one of the first ideas Letterman came up with while reading the video game script for Detective Pikachu, on which the movie is loosely based. In the game, the player must interact with a Mr. Mime to obtain an item. Is that true? I don't remember a Mr. Mime at all in the game.
Me either. Oof.
Did IGN even play this game? The only, like, Pokemon that, like, you have to interact with that's, like, giving you a runaround in the game is Klefki.
No, the ghost water ghosts dudes. The waiters on the cruise ship. You had to interact with them, too.
Water ghost waiters?
Yeah, the little, what are the jellyfish dudes? Frillish. You had to interact with the Frillishes as they were being waiters on the cruise ship. I don't remember Mr. Mime at all. It's not listed in the side games at all.
I think that is incorrect, IGN, but, you know, it's been a year since I've played Detective Pikachu. So, going back, in the game, a player must interact with a Mr. Mime to obtain an item. That's incorrect, but we'll continue on. And Letterman had just been watching the Brad Pitt starring thriller 7, where they interrogate the bad guy, so it gave him an idea. Quote, I thought it would be really funny if we played the classic film noir detective interrogation scene, but with Mr. Mime, Letterman recalled. The article goes on to talk about how Smith had to act all by himself because both Pikachu and Mr. Mime are visual effects. Okay, so the Mr. Mime scene was almost cut. Quote, full disclosure, I thought no way in a million years would the Mr. Mime scene work. Honestly, it was so weird. I wanted to cut it at one point because I was like, it can't possibly work. It's insane. End quote from Letterman. But he kept it, and once others saw it, it gave him a bit of confidence to keep it in the movie. Quote, then we just started showing it to people and people were losing their minds. They were cracking up. And it was so out there. It became one of the standout scenes. We did previews of the movie. People were cheering to see that section. It was really weird. And then they go on to say the most uncomfortable question was me asking permission to put Mr. Mime in the movie because I went to the Pokemon Company and I was like, I have an idea for the scene and it requires realizing Mr. Mime's photo reel into the live action world. They thought about it, and based on all the reasons listed above, which was describing how Mr. Mime looks, they literally looked at me and said, like, yeah, you don't want to do that. That's not going to work. That's going to be too weird. That's going to be creepy. For all of the reasons, it can't work. It came to the point where I literally had to ask the president of the Pokemon Company, Ishihara. I gave him the whole pitch, and then he started laughing, and he said, okay, give it a shot.
He also had to ask permission because Mr. Mime does not appear in the real game, so he was taking liberties.
I'm glad that people at the Pokemon Company realize that Mr. Mime is kind of a weird Pokemon.
I mean, how do you define weird? They're all weird in their own way.
I think for the most part, though, people are weirded out by human-esque Pokemon.
Yeah, humanoid, yeah. Well, I mean, he's part fairy type, so, I mean, at least he's a fairy. That helps,
he or
it?
She.
It, yes, they.
Because Mr. Mime can be 50% male, 50% female.
And why isn't the female version called Mrs. Mime? Miss Mime.
Miss would be that she took the last name of somebody. Or Mrs. would be. Miss.
Yes.
Would be a strong, independent female mime. Look, I don't know.
Which we want them all to be, but.
At one point, these games didn't have genders, except Nidoran, where they specifically had male or female in their name. And then they introduced breeding in Gen 2. And they took the liberty to make something like... See, I always thought Jinx was the mime counterpart.
Yeah, because they're both psychic, aren't they?
Yeah, and they both don't evolve into something else like Magmar and Electabuzz. But they both have baby Pokemon, which are both very adorable. Smoochum and Mime Jr.
Correct.
So when they decided to make Jinx all female... You would think they would have made Mr. Mime all male, especially based on its English name. In Japanese, Mr. Mime's name is Barrier, which is honestly, I think, a better name.
Well, how is that even a name? That's a descriptor.
What? Ditto is a thing that is a word?
Yeah, but it's a fun word.
Barrier is
fine. Barrier is not. No, it's not. There's no fun in Barrier.
But I do think it's interesting that they needed approval for it. But
yeah.
But you're right. They don't say that. Do they need approval because Mr. Mime was like actually not in the game?
I think that's probably where it comes from. And then people are spinning this as, oh, it's because he's so creepy. I think Mr. Mime is adorable.
I like Mr. Mime. I really like Mime Jr. I think Mime Jr. is super cute.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we will take a quick break. When we got back, we have a little bit of Pokemon Go news. One regarding a confrontation that leads to a restraining order. So we
also known as only in Wisconsin.
So we will be right back.
Garbage. Garbage. Garbage.
Garbage. Garbage. Garbage.
And we are back from our break. Got some news for you guys. Also, before we start the news, this week's episode of Alola Vacation, which is the Patreon exclusive side podcast that I do with my wife, Irene, will be free to everyone. I normally put it onto the Patreon only feed, but obviously if you're not a Patreon member, it's kind of hard to find. So this week's episode will be free for everyone just to celebrate. I try to do a free episode every now and then just because sometimes you're just like, I don't know if I want to listen to this podcast because it's behind a paywall. I understand. But this week's episode, if you wanted to watch it before we talk about it, or maybe just go in and watch it, is Sun and Moon 037 called Rising from the Ruins, which involves Rockruff, Ash's Rockruff to be specific. So if you wanted to watch that and then listen along on Tuesday when the episode comes out, it'll be free. It'll be in this feed. So it should just pop up normally. And then if you like it and you want to listen to the back catalog of the other episodes, you could sign up for the Patreon. If not, you know, just enjoy it as it is. I really like this episode a bunch. I think it's one of the best episodes in all of the Sun and Moon series. It's really cute, and it has some actual lore about Rockruff, which the game doesn't really touch on, which is interesting.
How come you have a special podcast that you do with your wife, but you don't have a special podcast that you do with me?
Is it not this show?
No, because there's always Greg.
Oh.
Or Bobby or Rachel or Al or Travis getting in the way. I don't feel special.
Let's do a TCG only. No, no, we don't play the TCG anymore.
I mean, I could start again. I love trading card games. I love wasting my money.
We'll go back to the drawing board. I just wanted to say that. So if you see an episode called Rising from the Ruins pop up in your feed. By the way, you're probably like, where can I watch this episode? It should be on Netflix. If you have Netflix, you should be able to watch it for free. Also, there's this really cool thing called Pokemon.com, which you can go to and you can watch it for free on that. Or there's another really cool thing called Pokemon TV, which is available on iOS and Android, and you can download it for free, and then you can watch the episode there. But if you have like a Chromecast or something, you can send it to your TV that way. But you can just watch it for free on your phone or your tablet or your computer. This episode is completely free, which is another reason why I'm making this week's episode for free, because you can watch it for free and then listen to Irene and my thoughts on it. So that should be out Tuesday, the 23rd. Okay, speaking of something coming out this week, on Wednesday, the 24th, at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time?
Sure, why not?
Daylight Savings Time is weird. Meltan Shines Again. This is also off Pokemon.com. From April 24th, it will be easier to get your hands on the mythical Pokemon Meltan in Pokemon Go. The waiting period to open the mystery box will be shortened to 3 days. Plus, beginning at the same time, shiny versions of Meltan will once again appear in Pokemon Go until Sunday, May 5th. If you obtain a shiny Meltan, you can evolve it into a shiny Melmetal if you gather 400 pieces of Meltan candy. Remember that to get the mystery box in Pokemon Go, you will need to connect your Pokemon Go to your copy of Let's Go Pikachu or Let's Go Eevee, which are games for the Nintendo Switch. You can open the mystery box in Go to cause Meltan to appear for a limited time. Don't miss out on your chance to get shiny Meltan and shiny Melmetal for yourself. Also, don't forget to use the new Go Snapshot feature to grab a few shots of your Meltan in the world.
May I offer a piece of advice for people?
Yes.
Given what happened the last time, so if you're listening to this on Monday, April 22nd, and you're like, I gotta transfer a Pokemon into Pokemon Let's Go so I can open my Meltan. Do not resist the urge, because if you do it on Monday, you get the 7-day lock.
Yes.
It doesn't early expire because Wednesday comes around. Wait until Wednesday so that you only have the 3-day lock.
Maybe wait until Wednesday and have a friend do it first.
What do you mean, have a friend do it first?
You know, just so you don't do it too early and then you lock yourself out. It should be 1 p.m. West Coast, 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. East Coast.
Yeah, nobody cares about Central. You know what really nobody cares about? Mountain.
Some poor mountain people. They never get the good time zones. Remember last week?
I was there.
Yeah, we were there. And I was talking about how there was an egg event, which is still happening, by the way.
Where you can get so many eggs.
Where you can get shiny Buneri, and then they increase the hatch time for incubators, and you get double candy from things that hatch, and they moved some Pokemon around, because I just hatched myself the baby Chimecho, what's it called?
Chingling?
Chingling, yeah. I just hatched a Chingling and a 2K egg. Those were originally in like 7K eggs. And then I specifically said, with these events, they need to like give us something to entice us to turn on the game. Like Clash Royale does this all the time. Clash Royale will be like, here's a free legendary chest, or here's a free giant chest, or here's a free emote. That's at this point in a mobile game's life cycle, you need to really double down on retention. And, you know, just giving somebody an event to do is not particularly good enough, especially if they're burnt out. But if you give them something on top of the event, they're more likely to, you know, sign in to, you know, get their free item and then, you know, play a little bit. And then all of a sudden they're back in the deep end. And they did that. They gave us something.
What did I miss?
They gave us 4 free clothing options, 4 free shirts, and 2 free pants. for female, if you're male, you only get one free pant. Pant?
That pair of pants. That was the fastest I went from excited to completely not excited in my entire life. I almost have excitement whiplash.
I mean, it's very cool, especially for people who don't put money into Pokemon Go, to have new clothes. And the clothes are really good. They're very Eastery. You get if you're.
I've got my T-shirt. I've got my pants. I've got my no shoes that I'm never.
Yeah,
gonna
but
wear
what
shoes
about
in this game?
What about an open button up, Will?
No,
you're not. You're not an open button up kind of guy.
No, I'm a sleeveless tank top, suns out, guns out kind of dude.
You don't have to log in right now. They're not going to go away. They'll stay here. So get your free clothing. But that's awesome. That is actually what they should be doing, you know, to get people to sign back in.
Do they have full-sized socks yet to protect your cold, cold ankles?
No socks, unfortunately.
After all these 3 years.
Three.
And we still have no socks.
No male socks. It is a bit of a bummer, really.
That would have been a sweet Easter present.
Speaking of a sweet Easter present, as of this recording, they added more clothing items to the store. I know this is going to get your motor running, Will.
More tank tops?
They added 3 new backpacks. One is in the shape of a 2K egg green, one in a shape of a 5K egg orangish yellow, and then one in the shape of a 10K egg purple. And for the low, low price of 250 coins, you can buy 1 of 3 of these backpacks, but for 750 coins, you can get all 3.
But if they each cost 250, 250 times 3 is 750.
That's what I said.
So no discount.
No discount.
Ugh. I don't even want a backpack.
See, you're a tank top, guns out kind of guy. I'm a no backpack kind of guy. Especially at conventions, I like the no backpack lifestyle.
Well, I mean, I like my little cinch bag, my mochi bag. But that's about as far as I'll go.
I know you can, like, bring a Switch or bring your DS, and if you're in a line, you can play it. But sometimes it's just very liberating to not have anything. Just have my phone, my wallet, and I'm walking. I'm doing the walk.
And then you also don't buy anything because you have nothing to carry it in.
That's true. It's a really good way of saving money.
Well, I always fail at that because you know what? They give you bags at the vendors.
Niantic, also, there was a Safari Zone event this past weekend in Singapore. Not only was there a Safari Zone event, there was the opening of the first non-Japan Pokemon Center, because I guess they're ignoring that the Nintendo Store America is a real Pokemon Center. So the Singapore is the first non-Japanese Pokemon Center outside of Japan, I guess. I don't know how to word that, but that opened recently. There was a Safari Zone in Singapore where you could have got Shiny Shuckle. I think Tropius was there, which is the Africa-exclusive Pokemon that was there. And then they also silently released Shiny Lapras. And it seems, according to the Sylph Road, that Shiny Lapras is now out in the world for everyone to get, which is the standard. Normally after a Safari Zone event, that Shiny Pokemon is available worldwide, as well as will always be available going forward. We've seen this with Psyduck. We've seen this with Roselia. We've seen this with Wingull. The Sylph Road is reporting that Lapras, while is very hard to find, has similar rates to a Pokemon like Aerodactyl, which I want to say is like 1 in 60. If you do happen to find it, it's like a 1 in 60 chance of it being shiny. Shiny Shuckle was all weekend, so by the time this podcast goes up, Shiny Shuckle will be no more, but it should have increased rates. I want to say it's like 1 in 100. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's the same as Roselia or Psyduck or any of the other Pokemon I've mentioned. Hopefully you got a Shiny Shuckle if you care about that kind of stuff in Pokemon Go.
I have not gotten a Shiny Shuckle yet.
Well, I got
and
two.
And I got a lot of Shuckles.
So I can always trade you one.
Now, I was looking at my Pokedex, and I literally, for my Kanto collection, I only need the regional exclusives. I need a Mr. Mime, and which is the other regional that I need?
Kangaskhan?
Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
I have a Kangaskhan. I have multiple ones that I can trade, because I got them from whatever they made Kangaskhan available worldwide for like a short period of time.
It was like some egg event. I missed out on that. Yeah.
Speaking of events, because of the Singapore event, did we talk about the lottery system last week? Or was that new?
I don't think we did.
Okay. I think this is important. So in for Chicago's Pokemon Go Fest, we were all curious. I'm sure listeners are curious of like, I want to go to this. I'm going to have to get 18 computers in front of me. All with different web browsers. Over here, I got Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Opera, Netscape Navigator. There's probably another one I can't think.
Microsoft Edge.
Edge, there you go. Does Linux have a browser? I don't know. They probably do.
You can use... what is the one that's the text only? Oh, I wish I could remember, because that would be funny, but I don't.
Open up your terminal, go directly to the website using that, and then hope that you connect to the website faster than everyone else, and then hope you can add ticket to your carts, and then hope that your payment goes through, and then hopefully get tickets.
No, because I'm ordering tickets through the app. We already established that.
Okay, so cancel all those browsers, buy yourself an Android phone, buy yourself an iPhone, buy yourself a Windows phone. I don't think they make those anymore, but I'm sure you could still buy them.
Wow, get yourself Pokemon a Go is not available on the Windows
get
phone.
Get yourself a Palm Pilot.
Heck yeah.
And then hope that while inside the app of Pokemon Go, you can connect quickly enough to buy tickets. But what if I told you, you don't have to do that? And you're saying to yourself, well, then how do I buy the tickets?
Yes, how do I buy the tickets?
You get... an opportunity, Will, to buy the tickets.
I don't get a lot of opportunities in life, so I'm interested in what you're having to say.
So, on April 22nd and 23rd, I should actually pull up these dates to verify, you will be able to go into your Pokemon Go app and sign up to say that you want a ticket to Pokemon Go Fest.
So that's tomorrow, or wait, when people are listening to this, today and tomorrow.
Yes. And then on the 24th, they will randomly select winners who signed up for the lottery. And if you are selected, you can buy tickets. So let's kind of go through this real quick. This might sound confusing.
It does sound confusing.
GoFest will be June 13th through the 16th at Grant Park. You will be able to... So Grant Park was the first location of Pokemon Go. And then Lincoln Park was the second location in Chicago. Now, before anyone says, oh, it's going to be a disaster, they literally just had a four-day event in Singapore that was flaw-free. They literally did Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago last year that was flaw-free. They've done so many other events in the last, like, 3 years. It's been fine. We already discussed what the issue of the first Go Fest was. It was because Verizon and AT&T refused to bring out cows... cellular on wheels, and no one had service. I think it'll be fine.
I think it'll be fine as well.
Pokemon Go Fest is a ticketed event with limited availability. Your tickets are linked to your Pokemon Go account, and attendance is restricted to 1 day per person. When purchasing, pay close attention to your ticket date, as you will not be able to change it or attend a different day. Anyone who attempts to attend multiple days will be rejected, and their tickets will be voided without any refund. Trainers who do not have a valid ticket will be unable to see or interact with Pokemon in the park. However, many Pokemon featured in GoFest habitats will be appearing around the world from June 13th to June 16th, just like Shuckle for us in the Singapore event. General event access. So if you just want a general ticket, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., it's $25. Last year, it was $20. They upped it, but they also changed the time. I want to say last year, it was from like 10 to 6.
I think you are correct, yes.
What if you wanted to get in a little bit early, Will? Maybe you wanted a 2 extra hours of your go experience.
I have seen that line, and that line is dreadful.
Well, there was no line last year.
But the first year, there was a line in the place where the line was.
Oh, I don't think they're doing a fence. Because they already said there's going to be 2 entrances like last year. Which I'm going to get to. Early access, if you want to get into the event before everyone else, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., so 2 extra hours, you can pay $35. Each ticket is linked to a specific gate, north or south. Please note, you must check in at that entrance that your ticket is validated for. How do I get a ticket? You can enter the lottery as of April 22nd. There will be an event icon on the main menu of Pokemon Go. During the drawing registration, you provide a contact email address that we will use to inform if you are to be selected to purchase tickets. And you will not receive a confirmation for entering the drawing. So no email saying that you've entered. Just trust that you entered. On April 24th at 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern, the drawing period will close. And we will select random winners on a rolling basis until all tickets are sold. Please check the in-app event page during this period to find out whether you are selected. If you are selected, you will receive a purchase instructions via the contact email you provided. You have up to 48 hours from when you are selected to complete your purchase. Please note the deadline included in this email is in GMT. Winners are able to purchase 4 tickets for themselves and or for their friends. You must be great friends or higher, which is a 7 days of exchanging gifts. Make sure that you have all the trainer nicknames handy and spelled correctly. Once the purchase is complete, you are all set. You are able to check in on your own account at the entrance gate on the day the ticket is valid for. Please note that all ticket sales are final. Refunds and transfers are not allowed. For the couple parents that listen to the show, there's probably more than a couple parents. Minors are able to attend when accompanied by a parent or guardian. In order to purchase tickets, their parents or guardians must enter themselves into the drawing to reserve a ticket for themselves or any child that will be attending. That means that if you have a child who is 11, they are not allowed to enter the lottery. So as a parent, you have to hope that you win it, and then you add your child as one of the 4 to the ticket. So that's how children are able to get in.
That works. I think that's fair. I mean, what kid has $35 lying around?
What kid can possibly read the terms and agreements of a lottery system? I have my own opinion about the lottery, but Will, how do you feel about this? You have to enter to have an opportunity to buy, and then...
I think with having that combined with having it spread over 4 days makes it a lot more accessible to more people and not just people with fast internet connections. So,
or people who are not stuck in a work meeting.
Who can't get out because, excuse me, I've got to buy my Pokemon. Look, the people at my job already hate me for playing Pokemon, so I can't make it worse. I think, and you get the 48 hours to buy the tickets if you do win in the lottery. And if you don't win in the lottery, you know, hopefully one of your friends who you're at minimum great friends, which, you know, I thought like ultra friends would be the requirement, but great friends, that's not so bad.
You know, 7 days.
I've got a ton of great friends. That's not bad at all.
I am actually surprised it's not 30 days because when they announced this, they gave pretty much everyone a heads up of like, okay, you have 7 days to make friends with people, which I guess like is kind of fair. But also like if you're planning on inviting somebody directly, how are you not great friends with them already?
Yeah, well, like I don't think that I am friends with Nick at all in Pokemon Go. So sometimes things just fall by the wayside.
I guess.
And I mean, you never give me presents, although I did get a present from you today. So thank you very much.
Yeah, we gotta get lucky now that we're ultra friends. Is that what it's called?
No, we're best friends.
Best friends. Great, ultra, and then I don't know the rankings.
I'm only lucky friends with one person.
Great is 7. Ultra is 30. Best is 90.
90?
Yeah.
Yeah. That took a long time for you to finalize that one.
I think it's fine. They've done the only way to attend like these events in Japan was always a lottery system. And there's actually lottery systems for other things in Japan, for like the cafes there. Like when Irene went to the BTS cafe, that was technically a lottery system. So it's not like lottery systems are new. It's not like Niantic has invented this. They've been around in other instances. I believe the Singapore event was also lottery. The Brazil event was lottery. And before anyone says like, well, I hate that it's like up to chance that I might not get picked, that's the same for the website stuff. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like it's literally rolling a die, hoping that you can connect faster than other people on a website.
Exactly. Yeah, that the vagaries of the internet don't impede your connection to the ticket buying site. Yeah. No, absolutely. I honestly feel that this implements a kind of buffer in the purchasing process that makes it more fair, so that more people who possibly don't have fast internet connections or, you know, aren't sitting at the internet have an opportunity to get a chance to go to this event, which is, this is going to be the last year in Chicago, right?
Well, unless they resign. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the third year of their contract.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that they have a better location next year and not Chicago anymore.
What?
I mean, Central is okay. Well, you only love Chicago because you can drive there.
Yeah. That's the best part. No one wants to live in Chicago, but if you can if you can get to Chicago quickly, are you coming to my house, by the way?
I imagine.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to fly in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Unless you're flying into Chicago and staying there a night.
Heck no.
I don't know. I don't know the people you know.
Trust me, anybody I know in Chicago, I grieve for. Plus, yeah, I don't have to pay for a hotel if I stay on an air mattress in your house.
I got a new one, too. It's brand new.
Well, I don't care for the quality of the air mattress, truly. Just a place to lay my head. I can sleep on your couch. I don't care. The cats are going to come attack me anyways.
It's true. Speaking of attacking, we're going to take a quick break, and then we have the Pokemon Go confrontation that we need to talk about. And then we will have our Pokemon of the Week after that. So we will
No question of the week?
No question of the week this week. Greg wasn't here, and I think we forgot to remind people. but I could pull an email. And we could do that.
There you go. Let's do an email.
Okay. And we will be right back.
Did you know, speaking of buffaloes, that buffalo
Stop
is
it,
a
no.
grammatically correct sentence in
that
English?
That is incorrect.
Buffalo. There's a Wikipedia article about it.
And we are back from our break. Pokemon Go game confrontation leads to a restraining order. A restraining order alleges one player continued to harass another in various locations around Delafield, Wisconsin, with obscenities and threats. This is off WISN Channel 12 here in the Milwaukee area.
Is that your local news?
It is my local news, yeah. Full disclosure, this has nothing to do with me. I was not restrained or the person filing the complaint. Although, I used to work about 3 minutes away from Delafield.
Well, it's right there on the highway.
It is, yeah. You just take 94 right over. I've actually been to a lot of these parks before to play Pokemon Go. Oh, man, I have a heck of a Pokemon Go story, too. It's not that great. This is off local news. You know, I feel like most of the time these Pokemon Go situation happens between two people, they throw the Pokemon Go in to get the clicks, but it's really just one or two humans just being bad humans.
As humans will do, yes, because humans are the worst.
There is a 2-minute video with your news reporter interviewing some random local dude in the neighborhood being like, these are my thoughts. Your standard news, like, we need a fill. Let's find the next person. Have you heard of Pokemon Go? What if we tell you the story? Can we get your opinion? I'm going to read the transcript here. The Pokemon Go frenzy that first swept through the air through Area 3 three summers ago has now turned physical in Delafield. Repeated physical confrontation between two players. They cut to guy Brad Inkelson. Was surprised to learn that the Fireman's Park was site of a recent Pokemon Go showdown. A restraining order alleges that one player has continued to harass another in various locations around Delafield, with obscenities and threats and more. The court records show the confrontations got increasingly physical, with the latest just on Thursday back here at Fireman's Park. A restraining order, that's taking it over the top, Brad says. The confrontations involved both men in their 50s. No one answered the door when we, the, quote, the reporters, tried to speak to the man accused of confronting his fellow Pokemon players. But moments later, police and sheriff deputies arrived to serve a restraining order against him. Delafield Police tells Channel 12 News that they've had complaints about the same person since 2016. Over the same game. Confrontations have all revolved around Pokemon Go, and it was him confronting somebody over the game or somebody he believed was involved in the game. A hearing is set for May 3rd. Police, meanwhile, say they will continue to patrol the parks in Delafield.
So some things, since I watched this video, some of the important takeaways that I found. Number one, Delafield is real small.
It's small and very wealthy.
Oh, is it really?
It is very, very wealthy.
Because that guy's house didn't look too nice. But also, his history of crimes particularly included, and I know that this is a hot topic. I thought it was just a hot topic in Milwaukee, but it's obviously all around Wisconsin, a very important legal issue to be dealt with, included being in parks after dark. When they were closed. How dare he? Can you imagine being cited for, well, I know somebody else who was cited for being in a park after dark, but still, what is like the lamest crime that you can possibly receive a citation for? And you know it's because he was trying to play Pokemon Go in that
park. You gotta get those gyms while the other trainers are sleeping. You know what they say, the you gotta pull a Darkrai and be up late to get the gyms while the others are dreaming. That's the classic expression.
Nobody says that at all. That has never been said. But, like, I mean, do you really get a lot of coins from these gyms?
You get 50 a day. So, if you do 5 days, that's a backpack, Will. That's an egg backpack in the shop. Monday through Friday,
also,
get yourself a backpack.
How many gyms can I simultaneously hold?
Well, it doesn't matter. Well, you can hold up to 20, but if you hold like 6 gyms and they all come back on the same day, you just cap at 50.
Oh, so I can only get max 50 coins no matter how many gyms I hold.
Correct.
Okay. Because I was going to say, those lucky eggs don't buy themselves.
That's true. The lucky eggs are 80 coins. You got to do two days of that.
Oh, no. I do the 25 pack for 1,250 coins. How many days in the gym is that? It's 25 days, folks.
Okay.
1,250. Yeah. 25.
Yeah.
So you're also telling me that this man is wealthy because he lives in Delafield, but too cheap to spend actual money on Pokemon Go, so he gets angry when people steal his coins.
I don't know how restraining orders work. Does it mean that he okay, hold on. That was no one. Don't clip this out.
This isn't Twitch, okay? We're not doing clips, okay?
I know how a restraining order works, but if they're having confrontations in Delafield Park, that doesn't necessarily mean the man lives in Delafield. It just means that he keeps going to Fireman's Park.
True. But they didn't say that he lives someplace else.
That's true.
They said this is very focused on Delafield, the seat of all Pokemon Go evil.
But it's also Milwaukee reporting on Delafield.
Oh.
And it's not like, I mean, like, if you're, like, actually, you know, downtown Milwaukee and you're going out to Delafield, that's like 25, 30 minutes. It's not like they're inherently close. I mean, I guess it might be a slow news week to report on.
Well, no, it's just Wisconsin has this bizarre, like, focus on Pokemon Go.
They do. They really do. To be fair, I was in the news about Pokemon Go.
This is very true. There's just nothing else going on in Wisconsin. You're milking cows, you're playing Pokemon Go. It's like, there's all the news stories on milking cows have been told. Finally, something new.
Can I tell you about my bad experience in Pokemon Go?
Please tell me.
I was at Elm Grove Park.
Have I been to Elm Grove Park?
I actually don't think so.
Okay.
It's one of the hot places to play Pokemon Go. So I went downtown Milwaukee to do Shuckle Day or whatever, Shuckle Weekend, whatever you want to call it. So I went to the Third Ward. Nothing was lured up. No one was doing raids. And there wasn't that many Shuckles down there. And I was like, well, this is a bummer. Because when it was like Wingull Day or when it was like Psyduck, and when it was Psyduck Weekend, like there was snow everywhere. It was cold, but people were still out Psyducking it up. I was like, it's 65. It's super nice. Like, you know, you don't even need a hoodie out. 65 in Wisconsin. People are in sandals.
I'm sure you were wearing a hoodie.
I was. I also had a scarf on because I'm consistently always cold. But I was like, you know what? I'm down here for an hour. I'll get my Shake Shack. I'll eat it. I'll go to the park. So I went to the park. Same thing. No lures, but there were a couple gyms. Or a couple raids happening, but I didn't see anyone playing. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just do a lap around the man-made lake in this park. Takes like a half hour to walk around this lake. There's stops along the way. At the end of the lake, which takes, you know, about 15 minutes to walk to if you're not a brisk walk, there's a Latios raid, a Patios, as your iPhone will autocorrect. And so I get out there, and there's people actually doing it. But, you know, I figured, you know, there's like 8 minutes left on the raid. They probably are at the catching point. And one of the guys kind of yells over at me, if you want to get into this raid, there's 20 seconds left. And I have my AirPods in, but I can hear. I understand that he's probably shouting that the raid is about to start. I'm not oblivious. I've played this game before. And so I take my headphones off and I go, what? And he just turns and walks away from me and walks back to the group. Like, all right.
Well, he didn't hear you say what.
Maybe. I've also raided with this person before. It's not particularly a person I have had good experience with, which reminds me back of the story of, you know, people. The thing about Pokemon Go and why I understand that these situations, harassment is no laughing matter. I do think it's funny that Wisconsin has, like, this obsession with Pokemon Go. That's why I think it's funny. I think getting a restraining order about somebody who is harassing you is not funny and should happen, especially if you're literally just trying to play a video game in a park, but I understand it. But I walk up to the group and they're like, somebody else says, oh, you have 15 seconds. And I was like, that's okay, no big deal. And then the person who originally approached me was like, you can't get in now, less than 10 seconds. I was like, that's fine. No big deal. I was like, I'm just out here catching Shuckle. If I could do the raid, I could do the raid. I wasn't planning on doing the raid. You guys have already started. Totally cool. Don't worry about me. I'm going to keep walking, catch these Shuckles. There's about 7-8 people there. And one of the girls goes, well, I already backed out. And then...
Oh, classic Pokemon Go.
And then a very old sweet lady said, oh, I'll back out too. And I was like, oh, You didn't have to back out for me. It's honestly, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't come out here to make you guys back out. I only came out here because it is the path around this lake to catch Shuckle. So we all get back into the raid. We do the Latios. You know, it took 65, 70 seconds. No big deal. And while during the raid, the guy who approached me goes, Who's using the Mewtwo? And this very sweet old lady goes, I'm using the Mewtwo. And he goes, well, it better have Shadow Ball. She goes, it does. It does have Shadow Ball. And I'm thinking, no. This lake right here, I just want to climb into it and just perish. This is like everything I hate about Pokemon Go. Who cares?
Agreed.
Who cares? We did it in 65 seconds. It could have been a Stantler and not a Mewtwo. Who cares? We would have been able to do the raid. It doesn't matter. What? Who's using the Mewtwo? It continues. You know, it continues.
Okay.
We finished the raid. My Latios is not shiny. No big deal. I catch it in the second Pokeball. And then after I catch it, I go back and I catch the two Shuckles around. And he looks at me and he goes, what was your CP? And I was like, what? Your CP for Latios. Your CP. What was your CP? I don't know, dude. I didn't look at it. What was it? What was your CP? Man, look. I don't care about CP. I don't care about IVs. I just caught it. I have no clue. And he goes, well, I didn't ask you about IVs.
Oh, no.
All right, dude.
You need to get a restraining order.
My CP was 2021. And then he doesn't say anything. I told him my CP was 2021. I ran away from the Shuckle I was trying to catch. I went into my Pokebox. I looked at the Latios. 2021. I say, it's 2021. And he just walks away. It's mind-blowing to me. Not that these people exist, but it's mind-blowing to me how, like, that ruined the rest of my day. That whole interaction of, like, somebody else getting frustrated that everyone backed out to let me in, even though I didn't ask. Frustrating that, like, they were actively complaining about somebody using a Mewtwo. The, like, you here, what is your CP of that Latios? Like, and then getting frustrated that I didn't care about that really puts a damper on, you know, I'm just out here trying to catch Shuckle. Why did we have to have this interaction?
So, see, that's why pretty much 90% of the time, right? So yesterday I was playing because on Saturday mornings I like to take a hike, and I told you the story about how I ended up walking 7.5 miles. That's fine, whatever. But yeah. I was playing Pokemon Go the whole time. And the way that I do it is with my Pokeball Plus, and nobody knows the wiser that I'm playing Pokemon Go as I'm walking across into the next state over and then walking on back. And you know what? Maybe I didn't get any shiny Shuckles, but you know what? I also didn't get attitude from other Pokemon Go players. Well, I did catch a lot of Shuckles, though.
I think, like, in Pokemon Go, I've had so many good interactions, though. Like that sweet old lady who was using Shadow Ball Mewtwo. Bless her heart. She was very fun to
now,
talk
by
to.
Now, old, do you mean, like, Will Anderson age, or do you mean old, like,
I mean,
Will
like,
Anderson's
retired.
Mom?
I'm okay. like 65 plus. She clearly likes Pokemon Go. She put a lot of time in. She was very easy to talk to. I think I cracked a joke and she laughed. She said Riolu wrong and somebody corrected her. And she was like, oh, that's how you say it. Cool. Like, she was a very, well, surprisingly, it was not me who corrected her. I think she called it Rioli or something like that. It doesn't matter.
Ravioli.
My favorite of Pokemons. And honestly, I would probably continue playing with this old lady. She was a sweetheart. And then you have the other extreme of, you know, hardcore, serious, socially awkward. Like, whether this person is, you know, Pokemon Go was the first game that got them out of the house into a social set, like a social environment, like interacting with weird people. I think they're there. They clearly, maybe, I don't know. It's hard to judge somebody, but I've raided with them before, and like the behavior of like yelling at somebody and then the person saying what, and then them just turning their back, and then them asking you a question, and then you finally giving them the answer, and then them turning their back and not saying anything. I just don't think they're, like, socially aware of how to, like, talk to people, but, like, actively yelling also at somebody for using, quote-unquote, the wrong Pokemon, even though it was the right Pokemon, whatever. It's just put a real damper on the rest of my shuckle day.
Yeah, but you know that these people, you can find them in all of the gaming environments. Right,
yeah, it's not unique to Go.
One of the things that killed me on the Pokemon TCG is, like, when you sit down and you're playing against somebody and they're like, oh, so you're playing Keldeo Blastoise. And then they're like, well, how come you don't have Black Kyurem EX? Why don't you have that? And I'm like, because I'm too poor and I didn't buy it. All right, whatever. Dude, why are you criticizing? And then they're like, all bent out of shape because, like, why aren't you playing against me with the best deck possible? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, dude. I came here to have fun with some cardboard and ink. But yeah, it's like, and even in the VGCs, they're like, oh, so you got this team, but you don't have this move on your, I know your strategy. And then you, like, play whatever. And they're like, you didn't play that strategy right. It's like, well, whatever. I was just playing the game here. Trying to have a good time.
It's all a bummer. It's just all a bummer. I remember when we played games in our house and didn't talk to anyone and it was the good life.
Yeah, it was. That's the problem. It's like when we play Pokemon Go and it's like eight of us playing together and once again, we don't have to deal with other people, then it's a lot of fun. But when you're out there on your own and you have to interact with strangers, or even like we did last weekend and there were six of us and some strangers felt comfortable enough to walk up and talk to us.
Let it be clear. I have no problem meeting new people. I like it. I mean, my job on Twitch is like consistently meeting new people and stuff. Obviously, there's a difference there because there's the internet separates us. But like
the difference there is you have moderators. That's what you need, moderators to walk around with you while you're playing.
That's
Pokemon
true.
Go.
That's good. That's good, because then before they get to me, the moderators are like, I know Steve's not going to like this dude. Cut that person out. No, I have no problem meeting new people. It's just frustrating sometimes how somebody can just say something can really put a damper on things.
Well, yes, that's one of the pitfalls of human interaction.
Speaking of people saying stuff, let's do a couple emails. There's probably email music or the dun that I put in between this, but we haven't done emails in a while. If you want to send us an email, we'll probably do an upcoming email-only show coming up here. So
when they stop pouring so much news out for us.
I know.
Yes.
How can you do a Pokemon podcast for 8 years? What is there to talk about? Let me tell you. If only there was less to talk about.
Yeah, I imagine after Detective Pikachu premieres, maybe like June. Now, well, maybe like there will be a brief week in June when things might slow down a tiny little bit.
Hopefully. SBJ at PKMNcast.com or Will at PKMNcast.com if you really want to email Will instead of me. Or if you can't remember either of those, PokemonPodcast.com and then hit the email button. All three of those ways will get the emails to us. This one is from James from Boston. It says, hi, I didn't know where to send emails regarding this nature, so I hope it gets to the right spot. I recently went to PAX East in Boston and I had an extremely fun time, especially fight over the best Pokemon panel.
Oh no.
Prior to this, I had never listened to its super effective podcast. Hey, look at our panels do something. They get more listeners.
Well, my panels get more listeners. I don't know what your past experience has brought us.
Apparently not. I only started listening to the listening to all the Pokemon conversations I missed. Well, thank you, James. However, I do bring some sad news. I went to PAX with my sister, who got in line to argue that Chikorita was the best Pokemon. After it was called After it was called that only three or more people would get chances to present their argument, my sister sat back down as she was the fourth person in line. So I'd like to ask you guys the podcast, what are your thoughts on Chikorita? Does she have a placement on the list of best Pokemon? Further thoughts on possibly making Meganium Grass Fairy in the upcoming Switch game to make it more relevant? Thank you so much, and I hope to catch up on podcasts soon, James.
Well, they're not going to change the typing of a starter.
They would have when they introduced Fairy.
Yeah, that would have happened at that
point. So I think that ship has sailed. But I will say grass has, the grass starters have the most variety. There are three fire-fighting fire Pokemon starters. But there are also three pure water starters. But grass is... had a pretty good variety compared to the fire and water counterparts.
You got ghost, you got poison. What else do you got up in
ground?
There? Ground. Some good
pure
stuff.
Pure grass. Two pure grass. I think Seviper and Meganium are pure grass. Superior.
Superior, yeah.
What would we, if we, I don't have the chart in front of me, so I'm not sure who's number one or number two or number three or number four. I'm hopefully Lucario's near the bottom, but, Chikorita, if we're just judging Chikorita on not its evolutions, Chikorita's pretty good.
On aesthetics, Chikorita's real cute.
Yes, and it has a great shiny, and Ash's Chikorita is pretty great.
I think in the cartoon, yes, Chikorita is a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Little weird pear leaf thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Chikorita's probably top 10 material, but definitely higher than a Lucario. The Roman Reigns of the Pokemon world.
So I'd put Chikorita in the 30s.
Top 30s? Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. There's 800 Pokemon.
Between 30 and 40. Yeah. I don't have the list in front of me, so I can't remember like how far we went this past time.
It's tough. Speaking of older episodes, just because James brought this up, we are working to restore episodes to both the website and the podcast feeds. Now, even if we were to, I think we're missing, because at one point, I guess this is still the case. All the episodes are on SoundCloud, but I deactivated the SoundCloud Premium. Stopped giving SoundCloud money ultimately. So they're there. They're just hidden because I don't want to pay the $15 a month. But we're working to move those over to our new podcast provider. Unfortunately, something like iTunes only looks at the last 250. So you wouldn't be able to see them anyways. So it's important that hopefully before spring is over / early summer, hopefully my goal is before spring is over, is to restore all the podcasts to the website, where they will live forever, and ultimately get it on the feed. So, other podcast service. I don't know. I think Spotify goes all the way back. But I know iTunes only looks at the last 250.
Need to restore my old Pokemon of the Week articles that I wrote for the website. That's classic, wonderful work.
I think those are still there. I'd have to
look.
Some
of them are not.
So, we're in the process of restoring that, but... I know some people have been asking where some of the original episodes are. I think it's kind of a blessing that you can't find the first, I would argue, 100 episodes of this show.
Hey, no, they started to get great around 86.
Okay, sure. We'll do one more email here. This is from Nick from Port St. Lucie, Florida.
That sounds like a place.
Sure. Hey, SBJ and crew, I found the pod about a month ago. Two new listeners. Thanks, James, and thanks, Nick. And I've been obsessed ever since. You guys make the workdays much easier to get through. I have two questions. Do you think there are any more legendaries or mythicals down the road that will get mega versions? Or just special alternative forms for them? And question number two is, do you guys think each gen will get its own Let's Go version to keep up with the Let's Go Pokedex? And if so, which Pokemon would you guys want to see be in the Pikachu and Eevee of future generations?
Well, I don't know if they're going to be doing any more megas. But
I really hope they do.
That would be cool. Alternate forms? That's money in the bank right there. That absolutely we could be doing alternate forms. They're doing the steel form dudes, according to 4chan. I'm sorry, the armored forms.
Oh, the armored forms.
Yes.
I mean, if we're talking megas, it is a real bummer to me that there is only one Gen 5 Mega and one Gen 6 Mega.
And the Gen 5 Mega is Audino, which is just why.
I mean, I like Audino. It's cool. So I would like to see... This is what I would like to see from Megas. I don't think they should go away. I don't think they're going to go away. Although I will, you know, get on my high horse about Gen 5 being good because it introduced hidden abilities, which I think have... Sometimes when people talk about Gen 5, they overlook a lot of great things about it, like the seasons, like the unlimited TMs, like the start of getting rid of HMs because you can go through pretty much all of Black and White without requiring Surf. There's a lot of great things about these games. But another thing that people forget is that Gen 5 introduced hidden abilities, and those have not gone away.
I really miss the whole where you could like go put your Pokemon into the dream world, and then you go to the website, and you play games on the website, and then you could get special Pokemon back from that.
Gen 5 was ahead of the time. Honestly, Gen 5 was ahead of its time. I really think that if Gen 5 came out, you know, 2 or 3 years later, it would have been... I think people would have just... The internet would have been in a better place for all of that kind of stuff, I feel.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, it, for Mega specifically, it kind of bothers me that, like, there are the Kanto starters and the Hoenn starters that have Megas, and I feel like if they're just going to flush that out and kind of, quote-unquote, finish it off, I feel like every starter should have a Mega. It kind of seems weird to me that, you know, poor Feraligatr and Typhlosion and Meganium don't have Megas, which is actually going back to James's question. I think Meganium could get love in the sense of a Mega form.
Then that one could have Fairy type as part of its Mega, sure.
By default, starters should have Megas, and I would just like to see some Gen 5, Gen 6, and Gen 7 Pokemon have Megas. Not a lot. I think we're very good with Gen 1 Pokemon having Megas. There's quite a few of them. But that's just my opinion when it comes to, you know, adding more Megas. I do like Megas. I think they're a nice touch. I know not everyone does, but also, you know, not everyone likes Vanillite, even though that's a good Pokemon.
Well, I like Megas because they, you know, it's like, here's this Pokemon that nobody cared about. It was getting rusty and dusty, and now, wait, it's got all this cool new stuff that it can do, and so you take it out of the box again and you play with it, so.
Oh, yeah, cool. Like, no one really cared about Manectric or Medicham, but their Megas are incredible.
Well, like Mawile, which I, you know, who Mawile is just not competitive. And then it got the Mega, and Mega Mawile was like, I brought that to VGC competitions and wrecked people. That was so cool.
As for like the Let's Go games, that question comes off often. I think we've talked about it before. I'm not 100% sure, but it's hard to say because I can't imagine. Well, so Game Freak was making... I would assume 4 games at once, or maybe 3 to 4 games at once. They were working on Pokemon Quest, arguably one of the best Game Freak games ever made. They were working on Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, and then they were working on Pokemon Sword and Shield. I mean, obviously, when Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee came out, it's not like they started on Sword and Shield. They were working on them both at the same time. And they're working on Town. So again, I can't imagine that, like, you know, Pokemon Quest came out, and then in like 5 months, they had the preview for Town at E3, and would assume that they have multiple teams working on multiple things. So I do find it hard to believe that they would have been working on or thought about working on anything past Let's Go. I think, you know, once Let's Go finished, they probably have merged both of those teams to be all hands on deck for Sword and Shield. So I find it hard to believe they even thought about maybe a sequel to that. Also, when it comes to like video game stuff, you usually, you know, don't start a sequel, you know, 2-3 months after a game comes out if that game might not do well.
Well, I mean, they could eventually come out with what it would be. What would it be like? Let's go Pichu. Let's go Togepi.
Okay, so that's garbage because no one wants to play through an entire game with Togepi or Pichu. They're both extremely weak.
But they just hang out with you.
So I think the reason...
They're your little baby.
I think if they were to do future Let's Go games, the reason Pikachu and Eevee work is because they were both established as starters before. Let's Go Pikachu is a remake of Yellow. In Yellow, you get Pikachu, and your rival gets Eevee. In no game do you ever get Togepi or Pichu as a starter, where you could make the you could put logic to Eevee because your starter gets Eevee and then picks its evolution based on how well or how bad you do at the beginning of the game. I think is how that works.
Really?
Yeah, I think if you lose to him in a certain fight, he evolves as Eevee in a certain way.
Wow, how forward thinking.
But I think if they were to do a Let's Go Johto, I think either one, it's the opportunity to make three versions of a game and do Chikorita, Totodile, and Cyndaquil, or just do two versions of a game and call it Gold or Silver and just pick the starter. Because I think why Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee works is because it is a direct remake to Yellow and people remember picking Pikachu on top of, you know, Pikachu is so dominant in the anime, so I think that works. I think if somebody is coming to a Pokemon game for the first time, if you're forced into having a garbage Pokemon that you can't evolve like Togepi and or a garbage Pokemon...
Togepi is not garbage.
Togepi is super not that great.
Togepi even
something
follow
where,
the finger.
Where people suggest Meryl, which also doesn't really make sense because, like, if you're... Like, I honestly don't believe that Meryl is as iconic as something like a Togepi. Like, Togepi has the anime to back it.
Meryl was advertised as Pika Blue.
Yeah, but that's because the internet didn't fully exist. I don't think a lot of people... Like, I don't think Meryl stands out any more than something like Snubbull. Like, if you were to ask somebody, like, top 10 Pokemon... Somebody who doesn't play Pokemon, they would probably say like Charizard, Pikachu, Mewtwo, Psyduck, like any of the starters, and probably Togepi. Meryl would not make that top 10 list.
I agree.
Like Togepi for sure would, just because Misty carries one through almost her entire anime, presence. So I think it's important to have strong Pokemon, and I don't think, like, if you were to do Togepi, I guess you could do Pichu, but, like, and the argument could be, like, well, Pikachu and Eevee are not that great Pokemon, but, like, Pikachu's iconic, and Eevee is overwhelmingly super popular, so even though it's not as great stat-wise, well, it's sure the heck better than Togepi stats also.
Togepi is a baby.
Togepi is a baby, and Gen 2 would obviously pick two babies, but then it also, like, then you think about how, like, Eevee rides on your hat and Pikachu rides on your shoulder. You can't really put a Togepi on your shoulder or your hat because it's round. It would roll off. Like, Misty holds it in both hands the entire time because it's literally a baby egg that you can't balance on your head or balance on your shoulder. So that would also seem weird that you're just, like, holding... I think it would also have to be a Pokemon that you can't possibly hold. And let's be real, no shade at Meryl, but I feel like it's a little too round to, like, hold on to your shoulder. It has a little bit of a belly.
You just hate round things.
No, I like Dedenne a whole lot.
But well, could Dedenne ride on your shoulder?
Dedenne doesn't have a stomach. It's a little flatter. I think Dedenne can ride on your hat. I think it rides on Bonnie's hat the entire time.
What if I get, like, a baby Bjorn and put my Togepi in that and carry it, like, in a sling over my shoulder?
Oh, that'd be all right, I guess. It's a little creative.
I could hold a Meryl that way, too.
I'm actually super surprised, though, that we haven't gone through three games.
I know. It's hard to, like, apportion out the version exclusives as you get more and more versions.
I mean, Yo-Kai Watch did three games.
Yo-Kai Watch. No, I can't go there. I still only buy one version of the game because I know enough people, luckily, at this point in my life that I can get any exclusives traded to me.
But to answer next question, I think based on the sales that we've seen of Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, I think it would be foolish that they didn't make a newer one.
Oh, I'm sure they will. They're probably going to get into a phase of just alternating every other year where 1 year it's a Let's Go, 1 year it's a more traditional style.
You know, it's hard to say. I don't think we've gotten actual sales numbers since December, which was 10 million.
Right, that's nothing to sneeze at.
So we'll have to wait. But to put in perspective, so in November, they reported that Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee sold 10 million copies. Put that in perspective. HeartGold Soul Silver sold 12 million copies. I think that Let's Go will easily surpass that in sales.
It probably already has.
And also keep in mind the difference. Well, one, those sales, like, we don't know the last 4 months of sales or 5 months of sales because it's already April, so we don't know how many it's sold in the last 5 months. We also know that there's only 36 million Switches out there, which at that point, the adoption rate is like 1 in 3 Switch owners got Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, which is pretty incredible. But we also know that the DS, where Soul Silver and Heart Gold debuted, there's 150 million 3DS or DSs out there. As there will be more Switches inevitably or eventually, the Let's Go games will continue to sell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And people are waiting for the new Switch. Like, people are always going to be waiting for the next system iteration from Nintendo, and then they just never buy a system because they're always like, I'm waiting for the new one.
The new one.
Yes.
So thanks for the emails. Let's wrap up the show. Pokemon of the Week, Will.
All right. So our clues for last week's Pokemon of the Week. Did you think you got it? Do you think you know what it is?
Can I get the clues again? For our listeners, of course, not for me.
Wait, I'm trying to find it. Oh, no. Where is it hiding? Oh, no. Oh, no. Wait a minute. There it is. Okay. So the clues from last week is... It used to be the final evolution for its line.
Okay.
It is a monotype. It can have the hidden ability Damp.
All right.
It is part of the Dragon Egg group, which is not one of its types. And in Pokemon Ranger... its browser entry says, this Pokemon forcefully spits blobs of water. Capture it before it slips underwater. So what do you think?
I think it is Seadra.
You are correct. Congratulations. There were a lot of people who guessed that.
I looked up Hidden Ability Damp and it narrowed down my options.
Well, see, that's what we call cheating.
I know.
And also, let me put it out into the universe. I don't care if it's Monday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern and you think you figured out who the Pokemon of the Week is. I'm not telling you whether you did or you didn't. You have to listen to the next episode.
Gets you coming back.
Exactly.
I forgot.
That's the whole... reason.
We haven't been doing trivia on the Pokemon of the Week.
Yeah, trivia. Give me some Seadra trivia.
I got some for you. Seadra shares the category with Horsea, Kingdra, Dratini, and its evolutions, Salamence and Goodra. They're all known as the dragon Pokemon.
Which is weird because Seadra is not a dragon.
It's not. Seadra is the only Pokemon that has the ability Poison Point without being Poison type itself.
Interesting. I could have included that in the description.
Seadra's EVs yield 1 defense, 1 special attack, which is unique. And Seadra has a pretty good shiny. Instead of having like yellowish highlights on its fins and chest, it has like hot pink highlights, which are pretty great.
Nice. I want them to do a Mega Seadra.
You mean Mega Kingdra?
No, I want them to do a Mega Seedra because they're that would be like respect. Because in Gen 1, Seedra was the final evolution of Horsea.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gen 4 came around and it was like
too many,
you know,
too many Megas for Gen 1.
Oh, I guess.
Give us our clues for next week.
Okay. In Washington, D.C., it has been a tradition since 1891 for African-American families to spend the Monday after Easter at the Smithsonian National Zoo. Some speculate that this started because African-Americans were not allowed to attend the egg roll at the White House, which began in 1878. Whatever its origins may be, the tradition continues even today. While the Easter Monday and Earth Optimism celebration is open to all families, it is a notable event for the African-American community in Washington, D.C. One of my favorite exhibits is along the Asia Trail in the western part of the zoo, closest to Connecticut Avenue. Much like the San Diego Zoo, this section includes the panda bears, which are resident as a gift from China. It also contains my favorite animal that can be found at the National Zoo, which is the animal this week's Pokemon of the Week is based on. This week's Pokemon looks very cute, but comes with a warning. It does not like to be touched or held. Funnily enough, this Pokemon does look very similar to the animal it is based off of. Strangely enough, the actual animal is named as if it's related to giant pandas, but it actually has more in common with weasels, raccoons, and skunks. It also tends to be arboreal, living in trees rather than on the ground. This week's Pokemon can be compared to another panda-based Pokemon. They both share a common typing as well. One big difference, though, is this week's Pokemon cannot be damaged by ghost-type moves. This Pokemon has the hidden ability Cute Charm. When it is hit by a contact-making move, the attacking Pokemon may become infatuated. An infatuated Pokemon has a 50% chance that it will not attack. This week's Pokemon loses Cute Charm when it evolves. Very similar to pandas, the real-world version of this Pokemon has a diet that primarily consists of bamboo. That's all I got for you this week.
I actually think I know it.
I tried to make it easy.
All right. We will be back next week, of course, for some housekeeping here. I will be in Boston the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. I technically fly out that morning. So the 25th, 26th, and 27th, I will be in the Boston area.
PAX East 2.
PAX East 2, as we're calling it. I should be playing Pokemon Go on Saturday, weather permitting, in the Boston Common Parks. So if you are in the area and you want to say hi, no con needed. Well, PAX 2, of course. But you want to play Pokemon Go or just hang out or maybe grab a coffee or something. I don't know what my complete schedule is. I'm going to do a little business there while I'm there. Some of you might know Nick, who does all the music for the show, lives in Boston. So I'll be meeting with him. I'll be there. So if you're in the area, that's where I'll be this weekend. So podcast will still resume. I'll be back Sunday night, so I'll still be able to do the podcast. And then no streams Thursday, Friday, Saturday on Twitch. But other than that, same old, same old. You can follow Will on Twitter at Washing the Sink. You can follow myself on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. Otherwise, I think that's it. Thank you to everyone who left us a review in Apple Podcasts. Thank you for making it to the end of the show. And good luck on your Pokemon Go Fest lottery, as you'll be able to sign up on the Monday and Tuesday for that. We'll be back next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super. I'm supposed to say something funny because it's just me, but now I can't think of anything. That's what we are. Super that.
A big thank you and shout out to all the producers of It's Super Effective: Kevin, Cygnus, Jeff, Pat Matrick, Catherine, Alex, Anthony, and Michaela. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you made it to the end of this and you would like to support the podcast, you can head over to isc.cash. And for $5 a month, you can get access to our anime podcast, Alola Vacation, exclusively for patrons of this show. Thanks.